You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Welcome to another show, the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Hi, Dr. Mike.
How are you, Joe?
Ready to go. I'm ready to go.
This is a great week. We have 2 weeks of great news that we can share. Do you know what the dirtiest thing in your house is next to your cell phone and your TV remote control?
Well, I carry one all the time, my purse.
You're right. It is the handbag, and it is dirtier than the throne. What do you call it? The handle on the throne. And the interesting thing is you really should wash your hands after you put your hands in your purse and before you put your hands in your purse, and leather purses are worse. So we have a lot of great news this week.
Now, you know men carry purses now, right? You knew that.
I didn't, but I'm willing to accept that some men do, yes.
Yes, I'm setting a trend here in central New York.
I'm actually wondering if that means that my, briefcase has that same amount of dirtiness.
Well, I don't know. You know, Father's Day's coming. Think about a purse for Father's Day, right? 2 weeks away. Something different, probably, for you, for the man who has next to nearly everything. Our guest at 35 after the hour, famous, right? Dr. Richard Besser.
He's from ABC News, and it is Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. And so he's got a whole bunch of interesting things here. For example, should you wash, and I'm going to try and pin him on some of these, but should you wash your pre-washed lettuce and pre-washed salad? That is, he actually says that the answer is no, and it's a surprising no to me, so we'll pin him down on why he says no.
Right. A lot of other interesting questions that we'll get answers from him about. For example, if your doctor orders a lot of tests, does that mean they're more conscientious, they're more thorough? Should you get an annual physical? How do you stay safe in the hospital? You know, are diets the best way to lose weight? If you exercise, should you drink sports drinks? Cell phones cause brain cancer, a lot to cover. I'd like to know, and I'll maybe ask him as we begin the interview, in this day and age of all this information that is thrown at us through the internet, and everybody can go to all these different places, are we more of an educated consumer of medical information? Because you can go just about anywhere. You know, before we had the internet, just ask somebody, what do you hear about this? Now you can go on the internet and all these medical sites if we become a more educated medical consumer. So we'll ask him about that. I'll ask him about that when we begin the interview. What do you know about MERS, M-E-R-S?
Well, M-E-R-S is the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcal aureus. And it is one of the diseases that kills people when they go into an ICU. That is, they get infections from others. And so we've been testing people who go into the ICUs and go into our hospitals. Do they have it? And if they do, they're isolated, which obviously means they don't get as many nurse visits. They often get depressed. And this is an interesting study which showed that treating all patients with baths and a nasal antibiotic ointment may be much more effective than isolating the MERS patients.
This is something that they found in Saudi Arabia almost over a year ago. It was first detected in Saudi Arabia in March of 2012. Is that a different place for something like that to come from, to start from?
Well, it is not a common place for us to learn about ICU care, but as you know, everybody is willing to learn from anybody if you can decrease deaths. And what it looks like is we've decreased infections by 2/3 since we've done this, and deaths by 50%, and maybe we can continue to increase and get even more benefit from it.
Cases have been linked from the Middle East to Great Britain, to Germany, to France, and Tunisia. What are the chances it heads this way?
Of the you're talking about the new coronavirus.
Yeah, MERS, yes.
And we're going to talk about that new coronavirus. That's a new virus. That's a different story. In fact, I'm sorry I missed the cue on that, Joe. So that's a second story. We're going to talk to Dr. Besser about that,
right,
who is an expert on new viruses. And we're going to talk about both the new bird flu virus that's come up in China and this new coronavirus.
Well, we had a Memorial Day rerun show last week because of the first summer holiday of the season. So we have, as you mentioned, we have some stories to catch up on, some good stories from the week we had planned, and then the stories that we have for this week. So let's run through some of these before we get to Dr. Besser at 35 after the hour. Heartburn and risk of throat cancer. Is there a connection?
Well, this is a very interesting one because people with chronic heartburn, we know they have a risk of esophageal cancer, and we know that treating it with the protein pump inhibitors seems to decrease that, and especially, in fact, giving people aspirin decreases the risk of that cancer. So have that aspirin with a glass of warm water before and afterwards. But this was, in fact, the increase in throat cancer we didn't expect. It's about an 80% increase if you have chronic frequent heartburn. And it isn't the protein pump inhibitors or the antihistaminic like drugs that decrease gastric acid secretion that seem to work on this. It is antacids. So simple, those antacids that you probably don't even remember. We used to remember them because they were all we had for a long time.
Sure.
Maalox was the common one, and that decreased it. It looks like it totally protects against it.
What were some of the other Tums? That was an antacid we were familiar with. Our parents had Tums and Alka-Seltzer, same thing, right? Those kind of things?
Well, Alka-Seltzer is actually aspirin. Alka-Seltzer is just a sodium form of aspirin, so it protects against esophageal cancer. It's really not an antacid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other one was, one of the other great stories was that exercise lowers the risk of lung and colorectal cancer and deaths from prostate cancer. So this was a follow-up of over 2,000 men diagnosed with prostate cancer, and 17,000 men who had received a cardiovascular disease assessment. And the fittest group decreased their risk of lung and colorectal cancer, irrespective of whether they smoked or not, by 40%. And they all decreased their rate of death from lung, colorectal cancer, and prostate cancer by over 40%. So the message is, get fit.
The McDonald's CEO, and I want to mention the story about McDonald's and after the break. The McDonald's CEO said he dropped 25 pounds just by eating better and exercising more. So here you've got the guy that is the head of the probably most successful fast food chain in all the world is eating less of what I guess he sells and getting out and exercising more. And that's it. You just eat better and you exercise more and you exercise and burn it off more than you take in. We are going to answer your email questions. If you have a question for Dr. Mike or our guests, you can send us an email at udocs@gmail.com. That's udocs@gmail.com. And phone calls, graciously accepted as well. If you have a phone, you want to talk to Dr. Mike, it's 877-711-5211. Some of the other stories we'll talk about coming up after the break have to do with Botox and migraines, and is there a connection between pesticides and Parkinson's disease, and climate change story that's pretty interesting as well, among others, all right? udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Sean Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Welcome in. Brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Dr. Richard Besser, Chief Health and Medical Editor for ABC News. You see him on, World News with Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America, Nightline, many other news and entertainment programs. He's our guest at 35 past the hour. Do you Google? Sure, you Google. Everybody Googles. Well, beginning soon, Google will be highlighting nutritional information for more than 1,000 foods. For example, type in the question, how much protein is in a banana? And beginning next month, you'll get the answer, plus an expanded box which will show the calories, fat, grams, and more. What do you think, Dr. Mike?
If they just revise it just a little and show which fats and show the aging fats versus the healthy fats, that is, look at omega-3, omega-7, and omega-9, the odd omegas, versus the saturated and trans fat, they will be doing great. If they just leave it as the general sugars, fats, etc., not so helpful.
Well, it may be important where the information comes from. Most of the information, they say, will come from the Department of Agriculture rather than relying on user-generated content. Is that a good thing coming from the Department of Ag?
Well, the Department of Ag has all of the correct data, has excellent data on its website. And the question is, will they use all of that data? I hope they do. If they do, then bravo.
Most people, they say, miscalculate how many calories they take in every day, even when they use a calorie counting app. People, we eat more calories than you think. That's one of our stories this week.
Right. In fact, the data is we miscalculate when we use those apps, and even when we look at the menu items, by 175 on average to 250. If you say that's per meal, we're probably, you know, if you eat three meals, you're probably down, I think you're eating 700, at least 500 to 750 calories less than you think. Do you think you do that?
What's that again, sir?
Do you think you miscalculate?
Yeah, probably, I would think.
I think we probably all do.
Yeah, I probably do. You know, basically, the obesity problem is, in a nutshell, people don't know what normal portion sizes look like, right? They also don't know when they're full. I mean, you don't have to eat everything all at one time, right? You have a big plate of food, right? Just save it for leftovers the next day or the next time.
Yeah, you know, I went to a Cleveland Indians baseball game this afternoon, since we're in Tampa, since one of our radio stations. Last night, Tampa beat the Indians. Today, the Indians beat Tampa.
By the way, did you stay for the whole game? Did it end at 3 in the morning?
I did not stay for last night's game. I went to today's game.
Oh, okay.
Today's game, which was started at 1:05, and I didn't stay because I had to be here at the office for doing this show, obviously. Mm-hmm. We do it live at 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturdays. I want to thank our people in Tampa for listening, but one of the interesting things is I have tickets in this place that has infinite food. You know, mm-hmm. you can go back, it's the club seats, and it does serve food with the game. And you look at the people, and the people who buy the club seats are generally overweight.
Oh, yeah. And how much of the game are they watching? Well, do they bring the food to your seat?
No. You have to go and get it. You have to pick it up. Yep. But there is no shortage of people. You know, there's a pizza bar and a Subway bar, a sub bar, and a... but none of them are very low calories. There are vegetables that are steamed. They're great vegetables, great salad. So that's what I have, obviously. But they have most of the other things. Even my mother-in-law, who I took to the game, said, I'm going to have some ice cream. I'm going to take myself to a treat. She avoided it. She actually avoided it. And, of course, the drinks are plentiful in calories, but I was able to have just coffee. And I enjoy it. You know, I love coffee. So it's a good thing, and it makes you younger.
Well, that's the thing about the fast food stuff, too. I don't think people calculate the refills. You can go to a junk food restaurant and get the free refill. Those calories from the drinks, they add up, too.
Yes, they do. Calories add up in every way. So the interesting thing, I don't know how interesting it is, but you can talk about the McDonald's CEO losing weight, right?
Yeah. Now, they also came out with a report this week saying that McDonald's is having a very difficult time persuading people to buy the salads. Salads at McDonald's make up 2% of their sales. The dollar menu generates 15% of sales.
Well, salads—they charge a lot more for salads, though, don't they?
Oh yeah, well, for sure. And the McDonald's CEO said they don't see salads as a major growth driver for their company in the future. Instead of advertising the salads, they're going to start to push hamburgers and chicken sandwiches. For example, some of the chain's new McWraps have tomato and cucumber slices plus shredded lettuce, and they're also trying to introduce low-calorie options as like egg white sandwiches. which they want to promote as well. Burger King is starting to sell turkey and veggie burgers, and Wendy's says they're bringing back their berry almond chicken salad with strawberries and blueberries. So there is it's not, I guess the people don't go for the salads, but I think that the McWraps and some of the other things, the chicken sandwiches, are more what they're going to try to promote.
Well, there is no doubt that, in fact, you could promote the salads by lowering their price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could do a lot better if you were some of these companies to help us get healthier. And why they don't have a dollar salad menu, they have, you know, there's no reason to not have a dollar veggie wrap at McDonald's with grilled veggies or whatever way they want to prepare them that are healthy. But they don't. And, you know, people would eat them if they did, and there's no reason they don't. In fact, you know, chicken and beef is expensive enough. They could probably make more profit on it if they figured out that people wanted it and did it. Maybe they just haven't tried it, or maybe they've tried it and we don't like it.
Yeah, that's it for me. That's the bottom line on this stuff. It's a matter of dollars and cents to most people. If you see something on a menu that's a dollar, you know, you buy that. You don't buy the salad. That's $2.99. You know, three and a quarter, it comes down to what's cheap and what'll satisfy your hunger. And I think you're right about that. I think if they get it down to a reasonable cost, a buck and a half, people might try it. Before we go to the break, Botox and migraines, what's going on?
Well, this is a wonderful story about Botox is able to prevent migraines. You get the shots every about 3 months at the beginning for the first two or three, and then every 6 months, and they have a remarkable success. About 60% of people get tremendous relief with it. It is another use of Botox or of the Botox drug. You know, there have been a number of uses, preventing spasmodic bladder, preventing arm and leg spasms, and a whole bunch of things other than for cosmetic uses. And here it appears that muscle tightening can be relieved. You have to have the shot every, apparently, 6 months. It never gets longer than 6 months, but it is a way of in a substantial number of people, reducing their migraine frequency or even whether they have migraines at all.
What kind of a candidate would you need to be to get Botox to solve migraine headaches, though?
You know, I don't know. Do you know? I didn't see where it carried that. Essentially, what you have to do is see a physician who's an expert in it. We have them at the Cleveland Clinic, obviously. They're at a number of places, and there are some specifics of it. I don't know those. Do you?
No, I don't. I have the headline here, and I thought maybe. I just wondered if, you know, it's interesting that Botox, I know the original intent, purpose and intent of Botox, but to have it for migraines, I'm sure there's got to be some qualifications for somebody who would want to do that to relieve migraine headaches, which can be painful. All right, coming up is our guest. You've heard him. You've probably seen him on Good Morning America, on World News with Diane Sawyer. On Nightline, he's Dr. Richard Besser, Chief Health and Medical Editor for ABC News. The book is called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor, Easy to Understand Answers to Your Most Confusing and Critical Health Questions. He's next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Time to welcome in Dr. Richard Besser, ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor. He provides analysis, medical analysis, and commentary for all ABC News broadcasts, including World News with Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America, and Nightline, many other news and entertainment programs. Got a book out called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. Easy to understand answers to your most confusing and critical health questions, published by Hyperion. Hey, well, thank you, sir, for coming on. We were just talking earlier in the show about how Google soon will be providing medical nutritional information for about 1,000 foods that we eat every day. And also with the information we get online now, we go to online different places to find out about what's wrong with us. With these advances of information, are we more informed and are we more accurately informed as medical consumers?
You know, I think that's a great question. There is so much information out there for people to sort through. I think that if you're a smart internet consumer, you can end up more informed. You can get information that can help you make smart health decisions and information that can help you have more informed conversations with your own doctors. But you really have to be careful and know where to look, because as much good information as there is on the internet, there's also a lot of information that is not well supported. There's information from sites that are really set up to try and sell you something. And all you need is a computer and a mouse, and you can set up a site that looks just as good as some of the really, really important sites.
I think the first emotion we experience when we go to the web to find out about something we may have wrong with us is an emotion of fear.
Yeah, you know, and you can get scared pretty easily. I've had a number of patients who, you know, who've had medical problems, and they've gone to sort it out on the web, and they've come in, and they think they're at death's door, mainly because they ended up at the wrong spot, or they were reading information about a condition that was similar to theirs, or applied to someone who had other medical problems that they didn't have. And it can be difficult. Your doctor is often a good one to steer you towards some of the more legitimate sites. I mean, if you have a medical condition, often the advocate sites for that disease can be good places to look for some well-grounded information.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike?
Rich, you've done a tremendous amount to promote hand washing. And one of the questions we often get asked is should we use antibacterial soap routinely, or is regular soap and water, or even just regular water, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's one where it's pretty hard to not get sold something you don't need. The whole fear of germs has led to a major industry that's trying to sell antibacterial everything. And you just don't need that. Good old soap and water has been shown to be just as effective as soaps that contain antibacterial chemicals in them. You know, this is for the general public. If you're someone who has an immune condition or cancer and is under treatment, you may be told to use something with antibacterial properties, and that's different. But for everybody else, good old soap and water, using it for a good 20 seconds, getting a lather and washing it off is really the way to go.
Now, is that the best thing we should be doing in preventing ourselves or our risk of the new flu and the new coronavirus? Talk a little bit about those, if you would, because we keep getting questions about them.
Yeah, so these are two new viral diseases that have appeared on the world scene. The new bird flu has shown up in China. Thankfully, it initially looked like it was going to be taking off and spreading widely. So far, it looks like it hasn't spread very widely. It doesn't seem like it's doing very well as a virus, which is great. The new coronavirus, it's called MERS, which stands for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome Virus. This has people very worried right now in the public health community because it reminds people of a virus that appeared 10 years ago that caused something called SARS. And SARS was a severe respiratory infection. It sprung up in Hong Kong. It traveled around the globe. It infected more than 8,000 people. More than 700 people died. And then it vanished, almost miraculously. It went away. This virus, this MERS virus, appeared about a year ago. And so far, there have been 50 cases. More than half the people who've acquired it have died. Everyone who's been sick either traveled to the Mideast or was in very close contact in a hospital room or in a household with someone who had. And the concern here is if this virus were to spread easily person to person, whether it could become the next SARS. So far, it hasn't. But, you know, I spoke to the head of the CDC, Tom Frieden, on Thursday. And his concern is that we need to be ready. And so the public health community is developing tests for this. It's not something I think that people at home need to worry about. You know, if you're someone who travels or travels to the Middle East, you need to protect yourself. If you're a doctor and you're seeing patients with pneumonia and you can't figure out why, you need to be concerned and think about this. And CDC has testing available. But for everyone else, I would stay tuned to the news on this, but I don't think you need to change any behavior.
And is so, in other words, the general precautions that we take seem to be appropriate. What about if you're flying over to the Saudi Arabia or to the Gulf region? Is there anything you should be doing differently?
Well, you know, the recommendations they have for travelers, CDC website, their travel website, has great recommendations on this. So it's basically those things that you should be doing anyway. Washing your hands frequently to avoid respiratory infections, trying to avoid people who are sick, avoiding contact with wildlife, because so far they haven't figured out where people are picking this up. And then practicing safe food habits, only eating well-cooked foods in case there's any kind of foodborne component to this. And then if you travel to those regions and you return and you're developing any kind of a respiratory illness, let your doctor know where you've been so you can be tested properly.
Now, we constantly or consistently hear about cell phones and the worry about cell phones and cancer. We should use wired cell phones or wired earpieces. What's the data, and what do you specifically do? Do you wear it on your hip? What do you do about that?
Yeah, you know, here's one where there's a lot of concern, and I don't see the science supporting the concern. You know, as you know, there are different types of radiation, and there's radiation that's put out by things like X-rays that's called ionizing radiation that can damage your DNA and cause cancer. The type of radiation put out by a cell phone is not that type. It's non-ionizing radiation. It's more like the radiation that comes out of a microwave oven. It can generate some heat, and so there are studies that show that putting it up to the side of your head can cause heat there, and you'll see some change in brain function around that. But the data linking it to cancer really aren't there. That being said, you know, our children are really the first generation to grow up using a cell phone. When my kids say that they were talking to their friend, 9 times out of 10, what they really mean is that they were texting. So they're not getting the kind of exposure that most adults get when they use a cell phone by putting it to their head. But if you're concerned about this, you can text more. You can use a speakerphone. You can use a hands-free. You know, I'm not on the cell phone that much, but when I use it, I use it up to my head. I'm trying to use it less and less when I'm in the car, because of all the data that are showing that even when you're using a hands-free in the car, your level of attention to driving is down, and there's risk there from that. But I'm more concerned about the risks from cell phones and driving, cell phone use in cars, than I am at all about the risk of cell phones and cancer.
Dr. Richard Besser is with us. We'll be back with more of some of the most confusing and critical health questions that you might have. Easy to understand answers from Dr. Richard Besser coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time.
sound familiar, call 911.
Learn the song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Terrific conversation with Dr. Richard Besser, Chief Health and Medical Editor from ABC News. His book is called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. Easy to understand answers to your most confusing and critical health questions. The publisher is Hyperion for Dr. Richard Besser's book. And here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
And in fact, we should say this is a wonderful book. I'm just reading some of the questions out of it and went through and read some of them. Obviously, I actually disagree with a couple of the answers, but very few. So should I take aspirin to prevent a heart attack, stroke, or cancer? And Richard, you say the risk obviously is greater than the benefit for primary prevention. How about if you add all of those things together? You're not convinced on the cancer data, I take it.
Yeah, you know, this is one where I think an individual approach is so important. You know, when we're talking about the heart disease, clearly there are many, many people where taking an aspirin every day can be life-saving. You know, if you don't have those risk factors for heart disease, though, then I start to worry about the risk from bleeding. The aspirin and cancer prevention, I'm not convinced yet. I want to see more data, more information. That being said, you know, there may be people who have very high risks for certain types of cancer that run in their family, and in talking to their doctor, they're gonna look at that equation in a different way. You know, one of the things that I hope people take away from the book is the importance of owning your own health and looking at information and using your doctor as your consultant, as your advisor, because so many of the decisions we make when it comes to our health are value judgments, and everyone needs to do that for themselves.
You know, what you talk also about, and that I couldn't agree more with that than you obviously stated. I wanted to get to a couple more subjects since we've only got a few more minutes. The question on the freshman 15. When my mother-in-law moves back to us from Florida for about 6 months, a little shorter, 6 months every year, I gain about 5 pounds when she comes back. So there's a mother-in-law five, even if not a freshman 15. Talk about the freshman 15.
Yeah, you know, I had always thought that was fact, that the average student, when they go off to college, gains 15 pounds. But in looking into the data on that, it's not true. There is some slight weight gain. It's about 3 or 4 pounds on average. I mean, some people will gain more and some will gain less. But I hope the takeaway on that isn't that you don't need to worry about what you're eating and how you're using your body. Those years in college are the time when a lot of people start to develop their habits around food, develop their habits around their bodies and exercise. And that's really, really important. But it is a myth that the average freshman gains 15.
What about, we get asked, and I've gotten asked again by on an email question for you, what about diet soda and sugar substitutes and weight gain?
Well, I think this is a really interesting area because, you know, I think, you know, if you're drinking full-calorie soda and you switch to diet soda, that's a good thing. I think switching to water is even better. But there are some data, there are some studies that raise concerns about how sweet diet sodas are, and that it can do two things. One is it can raise kind of your set point for sweet. It's so sweet that you can develop that craving for things that are that sweet, and that's not good because most of them have calories. The other is that there's this forgiveness factor. So, you know, you're being good. You're not having that full calorie soda. You're having a diet soda. For some people, that gives them the permission to have additional calories in the rest of their meal. And if you do that, then you can lose the value in switching away from those calories.
Yeah, in fact, one of the interesting things is when you lower the price of healthy foods, people tend to spend the same amount. And so there are some places, there are some of the studies where they're trying to incent eating healthy foods, and when they lower the price of the healthy food, they just buy more total calories of food. So it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. We were, Joe and I were talking about the shame in McDonald's saying it's not promoting salaries because not many people are interested in them. And I was saying the shame is that they charge so much more for a salad than they do for a hamburger that that if they lowered the price on, for example, a veggie wrap and make it a dollar menu item like they do some of their other things, they might be able to sell a ton more.
I think you're right on target. Price is a big motivator, and if you have a fixed number of dollars to buy the family a meal, and you're getting more calories from a fast food meal of burgers, then that's the way you're going to go. The more you can do to bring down the price of the healthy stuff, the more people are going to go that route.
Well, I want to thank you. First of all, let me just ask one more question: is which is your favorite question in here?
Wow. I really like the "Does Doctor Know Best?" question, because so much of it comes down to that. Oh, and the other one I really like is, do you need 30 minutes of exercise to see any benefit? The government has been saying forever that 30 minutes five times a week is what you need for health. But that, I think, becomes a barrier to a lot of people even getting started. Anything you do is of value, and there's studies that even 15 minutes a day can prolong your life. So just get out there and use your body. I think that's so important to health.
I totally agree. Thank you very much. The book is a wonderful book, Tell Me the Truth, Doctor, by Richard Besser. Thanks, Rich, and it'll always be archived at RadioMD.com. We're now going to go to the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is nasal allergies and the adverse effect of alcohol. Allergy sufferers everywhere, listen up, and it's more common now than ever. Pollen is great this year, unfortunately. You may feel a little better if you choose the virgin daiquiri instead of the grown-up version. it's possible that cutting back on beer, wine, and yes, those fruity summer cocktails could mean less sneezing, a clear nose, and more comfortable eyes. In an 8-year study, women who drink 14 or more alcohol beverages per week, that's two a day, were much more likely to develop year-round nasal allergies than women who had less than a drink per week. Although the researchers didn't measure how alcohol affected symptoms in people who already had allergies, the theory is that alcohol can exacerbate symptoms given the results of the study and the fact that alcohol seems to trigger hypersensitivity or allergic reactions, the same type of overreactions that occur when your immune system overresponds to pollens. Alcohol can increase the production of an antibody involved in the allergic response. One caveat, alcohol or drinking did not raise the risk for seasonal allergic rhinitis, just the one that lasts all year. So, the real age benefit, drinking too much alcohol can make your real age more than 3 years older. Getting the right amount, that is, half to one drink a day, if you don't have a risk of alcohol addiction in your family, can make you 1.8 years younger. Joe?
Great. Dr. Mike Roizen, Radio MD.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.